from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, what two revolutions tell us about our future. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. As the political incivility continues to rise, we turn our attention to one of the most compelling philosophers of our time. Recently, Washington Watch Live host and president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins, sat down with Dr. Oz Guinness to talk about his new book, Last Call for Liberty. Oz is an author and social critic who earned a PhD in philosophy at Oriel College in Oxford, England.
Dr. Guinness, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for having me on. It's a great pleasure to be with you again.
Well, I have finished reading your book, Last Call for Liberty, and it was so captivating, and I thought so accurately articulated the crisis that is before us. And so I would just start with this. Would it be accurate to say that America is in the throes of an identity crisis?
No, it's absolutely accurate, tragically. And I argue in the book that, you know, there are many explanations of divisions, the so-called coastals, New York, California, against the heartlanders in the Midwest and so on. Or more importantly, people say it's the nationalists and populists who are behind President Trump against the globalists like George Soros. And I think none of those explanations do justice to the real problem. You've got a division between people who understand America, the Republic, and above all, freedom from within the framework of the American Revolution, which was decisively biblical through the Reformation, and those who see America and freedom through the Lent Revolution, 1789. If you look at all sorts of things swirling through America in the last 50 years, political correctness, postmodernism, the sexual revolution, most recently this rage for socialism. Each of those, all of those, go back to the French Revolution and its ideas, not to the American Revolution. So America is at a very, very crucial stage. Does she want to go with 1776 or with 1789? And they lead to entirely different positions.
And as you unpack this in the book, Liberty's Last Call, the essence of this, it's not a rhetorical question. This is a very practical and real question that is going to be answered one way or the other, and the consequences are quite profound on how we answer this question.
No, absolutely. You look at the French Revolution, of terror and the growth of the state and various things like that, and you can see that the logic of many of the movements tend in that same direction. Or you could say, look at the sexual revolution. If you read the architects of that, which go back to the Marquis de Sade and Wilhelm Reich and people like that, they're quite open. They will never win unless they, one, remove parents, sex education 3 and 4, and 2, overcome the church. And they quite deliberately want to overturn 3,000 years of Western civilization and put in a new one. So we're really up against something that is absolutely decisive. And I would argue this would spell the decline of America as we know it, and also drive in another nail into the coffin of the West as we've known it. So it's a very, very important thing.
And as you very accurately lay out in your book with current examples, this is unfolding right before us. But what I find interesting in your book, that you don't call for a redoubling of the culture war. You're calling for somewhere, somehow, there has to be a breakthrough to find common ground between the two sides, not compromise on those founding principles of 1776, but appealing to even those that on the left that understand the importance of these principles, even to liberalism.
Well, if you think to the only comparable period, which was the late 1850s, the difference between then and now is the voice of Abraham Lincoln. Because he addressed what he called the better angels of the American experiment, and he always cited the Declaration. And you can see that with Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, or Booker T. Washington, or even Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King talked about the promissory note of the Declaration, whereas the forces on the progressive secular left today, they're dismissing the Declaration altogether. Take the kneeling controversy. Right. So what we lack is someone, you know, the president rightly says, make America great again. Well, what he needs to do is say why America was great in the first place, and then call people back to that in the same way that Abraham Lincoln did.
And let me just start there. Let me go back to that point, because I think you define some terms in the book and spell out some things that I think are crucial to understanding the way forward. And part of this is the basic philosophical understanding of freedom, both positive and negative freedom, which has biblical connotations to it. And I think we see this even on the right with the rise of libertarianism, that we're losing the understanding of what true freedom is and the foundation for freedom, and which I think is a part of your argument here, is that freedom is a threat to freedom if it's not contained within the boundaries.
That's right. Freedom is the greatest enemy to freedom, ironically. But I was at Oxford with Isaiah Berlin. I used to sit under him. He always stressed that freedom had a negative aspect and a positive aspect. Negative freedom is essential, foundational. It's freedom from. No one is free who's under the domination or mastery of anyone else or anything else. It could be drugs or alcohol or whatever, or it could be colonial power or a bully. No one is free without negative freedom. Freedom from. And, of course, that's deeply biblical. We're freed from sin, etc., etc. But then the other half of freedom is freedom for, freedom to be. That's positive freedom and full freedom. And you can see that to have that, you need truth. You need to know who you are and the way you're supposed to live. And you can see, if you look around American freedom today, both on the left and the right, that libertarian individualistic freedom, the idea if you just get people off our backs, our bank balances, the conservatives say, our bodies, the liberals say, then we'll be free. No, that's only the beginning of freedom. And you can see that a huge amount of contemporary freedom is romantic and is unrealistic and unsustainable. And so you've got to start challenging people to look at what real freedom you take. The great word of Jesus, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, we're in a postmodern age where people have thrown out truth. But without truth, you simply cannot be free. And that's just the beginning of the discussion of how we've got to restore the foundations of what freedom actually is.
And again, that there's two conflicting views. I think symbolically or really practically displayed in both the contrast between 1776 and 1789.
No, absolutely. Now, 1776 was immensely realistic. You take, say, John Witherspoon, his stress on sin in human nature, and Madison's whole notion of picking up separation of powers, checks and balances, ambition needed to counter ambition. Now, that's incredibly different, say, from the French Revolution, dominated by Rousseau, who believed in the essential goodness of human nature and a state of nature, which is absolutely naive. So Rousseau's idea, man is born free, but everywhere's in chains. So if you remove the chain wherever you find it, we'll all be happy, free, and fulfilled. Now, that comes out in the sexual revolution. You know, Reich's idea that you just find repression wherever you have it, remove it, and then we'll all be happy, free, and fulfilled. That's absolutely naive. And you can see that basic difference between the American Revolution and its biblical roots and the French Revolution and its naive utopian roots, incredibly important. One will lead to genuine freedom, the other to disaster.
But Dr. Guinness, we have history that also shows that the freedom of 1776 has led to one of the most prosperous, powerful nations in the world, juxtaposed to the French.
No, that's right. And we look at the state of communism in its hard form or socialism in its slightly less hard form, and they have always been disastrous. You know, there's a famous book by a Canadian scholar called Voltaire's Bastards. In other words, the Enlightenment, far from producing enlightenment, freedom, toleration, and so on, has produced world wars and genocide and all sorts of absolute disasters. And so we've got to be very clear about which we're choosing. In other words, America is rather like the time of Israel in Elijah's day, sitting on the fence. And the question is, will they follow the Lord and go back to the Lord, or follow Baal in its modern equivalence?
We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Oz Guinness coming up after the break. In the meantime, I'd invite you to sign up for our daily update. It's an email we send out on what's going on in Washington, D.C. Our website is tonyperkins.com. That's tonyperkins.com.
What is the Bible's stance on religious liberty? In FRC's new publication titled Biblical Principles for Religious Liberty, Evidence from Scripture and Church History, author David Clawson addresses this question by presenting key biblical and theological arguments for why religious liberty is worth defending and encourages Christians to stand up for America's first freedom. Learn more by visiting frc.org/belief.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. This week, we're sharing a conversation that Tony Perkins had with Dr. Oz Guinness, covering topics from his book, Last Call for Liberty. Here's Tony Perkins.
Dr. Guinness, thanks again for sticking around and joining us in this conversation. Again, I think it's a fascinating book. I was thinking of you when I saw recently the Wall Street Journal NBC poll that said Americans have shifted dramatically on what values matter most. And it's being driven mainly by younger generations, where they rate patriotism, religion, and having children as less important to them than did young people two decades ago. In fact, in the last 20 years, roughly, 61% of the new survey cited patriotism as very important to them, down 9 points from 1998. 50% cited religion, that's down 12 points. And some 43% placed a high value on having children, that's down 16 points from 1998. To me, that indicates we have a problem.
An immense problem. No, you're right, Tony, that's an extraordinarily significant poll. But the trouble is, Americans tend to look at polls as sort of snapshots, the numbers of the day, rather than really explore their meaning. And if you look at the collapse of the numbers between the silent generation, the boomers, right down to Generation Z, one of the basic shocks in that is the collapse of transmission. It's not being passed down. Now, the significance of that is that both freedom and faith require handing on. You know, as the rabbis point out, what did Moses talk about the night of the Passover? He didn't talk about freedom. He didn't talk about going free. He didn't talk about the promised land. He didn't talk about the challenge of the howling wilderness they had to cross. He talked about, three times, children. And again, you have that stress in the Torah and in covenantal societies. And of course, the American Constitution comes from the Hebrew covenant, and it requires transmission. If it's not passed down from parents to kids, from teachers to students, and above all in the public schools through civic education, it collapses. And what you're seeing in that poll should be a terrible warning to America. The Republic, as the framers set it up, is on its last legs if that sort of a situation continues.
And I think the problem, one of the problems, is that parents have farmed out this education to either the churches for their spiritual education and to their schools for their civic and historical education.
Well, I'm not sure there's much civic education in the schools. There is in the private schools, Christian and Catholic and others, but not much in the public schools.
Well, that's my point. It's not happening.
A lot of other factors behind that, the crisis of the family. I mean, fathers have been challenged toxic masculinity and all that. So there's an incredible lack of confidence among fathers. There are many other factors. But the family, I mentioned earlier, the sexual revolution wants to replace parents. And that's the whole point of bringing in sex education at 3 and 4. You want to just drive parents out altogether. But put it all together, what it means is no transmission. You know, many of us remember the Beijing Olympics in 08. It was the first time since there have been relays that America had no one at all on the podium. And the reason wasn't just there was a Usain Bolt who was rather fast. The main reason was the American runners dropped baton. And what you can see happening in American culture today is that America is dropping the baton that next generation isn't being passed on to. Now, sadly, that's true in the church, too. You say a biblical illiteracy among Christian churches is the same problem.
Yeah, and I think that's why I think you see this precipitous drop in the importance of religion among the younger generation. And it reminds me of Ronald Reagan, who had a quote attributed to him, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same." And that requires that each and every family, each parent, be involved in educating, instilling, and really challenging their children to embrace 1776 and all that that means. And I think your book is a great way to do that.
We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Oz Guinness coming up after the break. In the meantime, I'd invite you to head on over to TonyPerkins.com and see about joining us next summer for a special trip to Israel. All of the details are there at our website, TonyPerkins.com.
Are you a parent of a school-aged child? Then check out Family Research Council's new publication titled The SPLC's Teaching Tolerance: What Parents, Teachers, and Administrators Need to Know. This resource helps parents identify the radically progressive agendas being pushed on their children by the Southern Poverty Law Center. FRC's brochures outlines the content within the SPLC's Teaching Tolerance Project that undermines Christian values about marriage and family. Learn more at frc.org/teachingtolerance.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On this week's show, we've been featuring an interview Family Research Council President Tony Perkins had with philosopher and social commentator Oz Guinness. They're discussing Dr. Guinness's latest book, Last Call for Liberty.
Dr. Guinness, thanks for sticking around as we wrap this up. I want to quote from you in the book. You say that there can be no truce between 1776 and 1789. The clash of freedoms has to be settled in favor of one way or another. Now, you also say this is not just to ratchet up the voices on both sides, but rather to find a way forward. And one of the things that you use as an illustration of a potential way forward is the Williamsburg Charter that you were a part of. Explain that.
Well, that was 30 years ago when I saw coming, as a newcomer to this country then, that America needed it so deeply to renew the understanding of religious freedom. Things have got even worse now, and so that's deeply important. But as we go forward, I think two things are absolutely essential. You know, one is a Lincoln-like leader who can really put the issue. In other words, to make America great again, we need to go back and see what made it great in the first place. And that's where we need someone to heighten the crisis the way you've done it so well today. Someone needs to do that at the very highest level, the president, the vice president, senator, whoever, to really call America back to the real issues. But the second is, we are a covenantal, a constitutional society, and you can see in the Bible and down through history, societies like that go forward best by going back first. And that isn't reactionary, it's actually progressive. And so there needs to be, you think of what Ezra or earlier Hezekiah and others did, or even Joshua in his time. They called the nation back, because as Moses says at the end of Deuteronomy, remember, 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 never forget. America's forgotten where it came from. And there needs to be, instead of, say, July the 4th, a big parade of military power on, say, the Mall, there needs to be a national rededication. And I hope in the next 5 years, some American leader will lead America in a national rededication with understanding to what made America great in the first place, because this is a country by intention and by ideas, and it's beliefs and ideals that are absolutely critical. Now, that should be done not in a way that drives the wedge, but rather in a way which includes, reminds Americans and pulls them back to the greatness. Because American freedom, properly understood, sadly it wasn't consistent. Think of slavery. Wrongs had to be put right, but in the light of the better angels. And we've got to call Americans back to the greatness of their founding.
But there are some who, as we saw in the French Revolution, who find religion in the public space unacceptable and will not. And so we're not going to see everyone come along. But you put forth in here the idea that there are some in the sense of classic liberalism, those who, you know, may not agree on everything, but can agree that the core principles of American freedom, that golden triangle of freedom, is essential to America going forward for all people. And we're such a frayed fabric of a society that if we don't find some common ground soon, there's not going to be much left.
No, you're exactly right, Tony, again. You know, I like the way Dennis Prager constantly says, we're talking about the progressive secular left when we're pointing out the problems, not the true liberal. And so we've got to appeal to the better angels. But you also highlighted the incredible significance of what came out of the French Revolution, a militant animosity to religion, and specifically to the Christian faith. Now, you can see that is growing almost weekly in America, and that is extremely dangerous. Because I think as the better thinkers like Dostoevsky, Camus, and many others have pointed out, when you try and get rid of God, Friedrich Nietzsche style, you will eventually replace it with demons. And that's the danger. In other words, you don't just get rid of God and become happily secular. You know, you drive out one thing and the house is filled with seven times worse types of demons.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So tremendous stakes are at play, say in the next election and all that's coming up in the next 2 or 3 years.
You know, this is a difficult one for Christians, because we've laid out here what is a challenge to religious expression, religion in the public square, which is essential to freedom. And so we can't wave a white flag and retreat. But at the same time, we don't want to be combative in standing for that freedom. It's really, as Ephesians talks about, speaking the truth in love. We need to speak the truth, stand for the truth, be unyielding for the truth, but in such a way that it is not combative.
No, that's right. And you know, whether we're looking at someone like Wilberforce in his time, the most vilified man in the world, but he was humble. He was gracious. He loved his enemies. He also had the gift of humor. And eventually he won many of his enemies and certainly won the issue. And you can see today we've got to follow our Lord's command to love our enemies. In other words, treat them with respect, treat them with love. They won't all come round. We'll still be vilified, but we will win many more than just answering in kind. We must never return evil with evil.
Right. It's not sufficient here to win this debate from a academic standpoint or historical standpoint. We have to win the hearts and minds of enough people to turn America back to the source of its greatness, because if not, we may win the argument but lose the country.
No, exactly right. And I think part of that is actually prayer and even spiritual warfare, because there are principalities and powers at stake. The evil is not just human evil that we're facing today. You can see global evils that really have to be taken on with spiritual opposition, you know, as well as powerful arguments. And, above all, living lives that have integrity and really trying to follow Jesus in the whole way we live and not just speak.
Yeah, that's extremely important, Dr. Guinness. And I think in our final moments together, I want to kind of bring this even closer to our listeners and what they can do. Yes, we need those leaders, and we'll certainly be encouraging some and being a part of that, of calling the nation back to those founding principles. But what can the moms and dads do that are listening here today? What can the young people who, you know, feel like they're swimming upstream culturally, whether they're in high school or college, because I know we have a lot of them that listen, what can they do to preserve this unique liberty that we know as American freedom?
Well, Tony, I was just reading our Lord's words recently. When these things happen, stand up and raise your heads. In other words, we've got to move onto the front foot. The scandal of this country is that followers of Jesus are actually a huge majority, but often it's tiny minorities who have much more cultural influence than we do. And many Christians are on the back foot. And we need to remember that God is greater than all. He can be trusted in all situations, even the present crisis. Have faith in God. Have no fear. Move out. We've got to live differently and speak out with love and respect for the challenging confrontation of the issues. Truth will prevail. And that's one of the big challenges, to move out, to throw the demoralization, the discouragement, and all these things, and move on to the front foot, trusting in the gospel. And this is actually a great moment, because all the great challenges of our time have no answer apart from the answers we see in the Jewish and Christian scriptures.
Yeah, we've got the answers. We just have to have the courage to share them. All right, Dr. Oz Guinness, thanks so much for joining us. Great to have you on the program. Look forward to seeing you real soon.
Thank you. My privilege.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.